Happy Sabbath again. Does anybody feel maybe a little beat up or a little knocked down from the last month or so? A couple hands out there. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just me. There's been some hard things going on. Our church family has been through a lot, is still going through a lot. We're not done with it. And we'll continue. It's something that continues always. We get discouraged. We get anxious. We start to wonder what is even going on. And this can happen in church. Happens in all parts of life, at work, school, maybe our spiritual life, and those things are really all connected in some ways, right? And what can we do? What can we even do about it? Today I want to talk about this subject of resilience. Resilience is a topic that's talked about often. It's in business, in life. There's a lot of discussions about resilience and how to apply it to your life and to become more resilient. And resilience is the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties or tough situations. And it comes from being resilient as bouncing back, like something is bent and then it's bounced back into shape. Well, people face all kinds of adversity in life. There, as we mentioned, there's personal crisis that we deal with, like illness, certainly familiar to us now. There's loss of loved ones. There's abuse, bullying, job losses, there's financial issues, there's tragic events in the news, like terrorism, shootings, natural disasters, and of course, COVID, right? And we deal with this, and we have to deal with it on a daily, every day of our life, we deal with it. And it's challenging to work through these situations. Can affect us. It does affect us. Well, resilience is the ability to withstand these adversities in life and to bounce back from difficult life events. And being resilient, before I even get started into this, it doesn't mean that we don't experience stress or emotional upheaval or suffering. It's not about being mentally tough or being happy all the time. It's about being able to work through things that come up in our lives and the ability to do that and work through that emotional pain and suffering that we all have from time to time. And I understand that some might not even be ready at this point to talk about bouncing back. They're still dealing with some serious situations. Just as was brought up in the sermonette, there's a time for all things. Time for all things. But resilience, it's also not a fixed trait. It's not something that you just say somebody is resilient and another person isn't. It's something that we can all develop and work on in our lives. And it builds as we go through life and we deal with situations. And there's things that we can do to help us as we go, to be flexible and adaptable and persevere when these situations come up in our lives. There's a scripture that's often read. You don't need to turn there. It's James 1:12. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And the New International Version puts it this way: "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, having stood the good test, that the person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Let's talk about enduring and persevering through all these trials. And so the question comes to my mind is, well, how can I do that? You know, what am I supposed to do? And what am I supposed to do when I leave here today? you know, I hear I'm supposed to endure. What am I supposed to do about that? And how can I even add something to my life that helps me endure or persevere? I just want to look at that today and think about when you or I, when we face life's trials, what is our reaction? Do we have this resilience? Are we able to build it in our lives? Are we able to continue growing and learn and move forward? Are we able to find meaning in those things in our life? Or do we become stuck in a cycle of sadness or depression? Those are things that we want to avoid, right? Well, the good news is there's some things that we can do to build resiliency in our life. We're going to touch on that today. We're just going to touch on it. Like I said, there's a lot written about this subject. You can research it on your own, how to apply it to your life and whatever your situation is. And this can be resilience, in multiple ways. It could be physical, it can be emotional, mental, and spiritual, which is an important topic for us here as a spiritual family, and we'll touch on that today along with some of these other areas in our life. Much of this information, it comes from an article. The points from an article called, it was from everydayhealth.com. The article was called, "What is Resilience? A Guide to Facing Life's Challenges, Adversities, and Crisis." It was by Katie Hurley. It's a medically reviewed article from 2020. Also, if you search resilience on UCG.org, multiple articles there as well, some of which I used for this message. So the first point I have today, and something that we can do, something we can take away and do to help build resilience in our life, is develop self-awareness. Develop self-awareness. And what this means is really understanding how you typically respond to stress or adversity in your life. And you can also think about how you have strengths and weaknesses. We all do. So when you're in those one of those weakness type situations, how do you respond? What does your body say? What does your mind do? How do you respond to those situations of stress? So having that self-awareness is the first step. And really the human reaction when we get into trials is to be filled with negative thoughts. It's what we do. And many get stuck in this rut, you might say, of being unhappy or having difficulty because they're unable to get rid of these feelings of anger or hurt or guilt or negative emotions in their life. So it's important to look at those areas to have that awareness and find lessons in our circumstances. I want to turn over to 1 Kings 19. We'll read a story here. 1 Kings 19. And we'll see that we all have ups and downs, all of us. This is the story of Elijah. And a great prophet, and we'll see even him. This is a story that many of you have heard, but we'll read through it and see that we all have these issues in our life and see what we can do to deal with it. So in 1 Kings 19, verse 1, I'll give a little background. So Elijah had ended a drought that had been going on for years. He had brought down fire in this great miracle, and he had killed all the enemies, these prophets of Baal. So it was this great victory for him and for God, you might say. And he was part of that. It was a great event. So this is right after that event in 1 Kings 19, verse 1. And the king is Ahab and Queen Jezebel. It says, "And Ahab had told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. So Elijah gets, the queen says she's going to kill him after this all happened. So Elijah said, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. So he's afraid. And he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. So then he went by himself a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. He says, now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. So here he is. He just had this great event. Things were fantastic. And now he's down. There's ups and downs. And he wants to die. It says, then as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose, he ate and drank, and he went on in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. So it was said in our house that Elijah just needed a snack and a nap, and he would be okay. But my point is with this, is that he had both physical needs. He was down. He also had spiritual needs, right? He had ups and downs. And in this case, an angel was there to help him, right? Sent by God to help him in his way. But he had feelings of despair and loss, just like we all do at times. But God was not done with Elijah, and he's not done with us. There's more for us to do as well. We can turn over to Romans. Let's turn over to Romans 7. And we have downs spiritually as well. You know, Romans 3:23, you don't need to turn there, but it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Going over to Romans 7, we'll look at Paul here, an apostle, a great in the church, you would say. So in Romans 7, verse 18, and this shows that even Paul struggled in his life. Romans 7, verse 18, it says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to do will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. So Paul's saying even these things in his life, he wants to do good, he ends up failing, right? He doesn't want to do some things, and that's what he ends up doing. So there's this struggle. It's a constant struggle. It's not just you, and it's not just me who deals with these things. And we are aware that we have sins and that we have weaknesses and that we need to address it. You're going to skip right forward to Romans 8. This is just a little bit after that. These verses here. Romans 8, verse 12. So we know that we have these weaknesses and we're self-aware of that. That's this point that we're getting to. Romans 8, verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. And it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And that's something we need to remember. We are being led. We are the children of God. says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, right? These difficulties, when these things come up, even Paul here, when he's saying, I want to do good and I fail at it, says, you're not under fear. It says, but to receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit of Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If we are children, then heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, if and indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Pointing out that again, to be self-aware that we do have issues, everybody. But we have a God who's there, who's adopting us into His very family, and is there for us. We have to remember that and be aware of it. It's one of the first steps in having this resilience in our life. So we have this ability to influence what happens through these ups and downs, to be self-aware, to be able to make peace with our past, move forward and deal with the issues in our lives and continue on. Let's turn over to Philippians. Philippians is a very encouraging book. I turn to it often. Let's go to Philippians 4. And again, this is about being self-aware and knowing how we react to issues and what our strengths and what our weaknesses are as a first step. So Philippians 4 and verse 12. I'm going to read this from, this is the New International Version. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. So again, those good times, those hard times. And says, I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. And that's part of this, right? Learning what we're talking about, that self-awareness, the situations that we're in, and how do we deal with those situations. It says, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, it says, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. We can do all things through Him who gives us strength, through our God. So as we think about this self-awareness, instead of thinking of ourselves as a failure when we make a mistake, we need to realize that it's an event, hopefully an isolated event that happens and learn from it. If it's not just a mistake, but it's a sin, we need to go to God and repent. So again, we need to think about those strengths that we have, where we have weaknesses, and how do we react to those things. That's this first step in resilience. And just looking at those and acknowledging it and really taking a look at our lives really can help. And when those situations come up, whether it be anxiety, fear, spiritual issues, knowing that about yourself is that first step. The second step is to learn coping skills. Learn coping skills. There are many coping skills. And again, you can do additional research on this, and for whatever your situation is, there's ways to cope with the stresses that we have, whether spiritual, physical, emotional, or mental. But there are many skills that can help us deal with stressful and challenging situations. Just to list some, there's journaling, reframing thoughts, exercising, spending time outdoors, socializing, improving sleep, hygiene, creative outlets like art, and then we have spiritual coping skills as well. We'll talk about some of those. And some of these are common. Some of these are very common, things that we've heard before. but it's good to review them and think about these things as we go through life. There are things as easy as breathing exercises. When you're stressed, we all get stressed, and maybe we'll just try one here. Okay, so we'll try this. We're all going to take a deep breath in when I start counting. I'm going to take a deep breath in while I count to four and breathe it out slowly as I count to six. Are you ready? In, one, two, three, four, and out. One, two, three, four, five, six. I saw a smile in the back. Maybe it helped somebody. The article I read suggested do that three times when a little situation comes up. So there's simple things like that we can do that helps us manage our life. There's some other physical things that we can do. There's diet and exercise. I'll just touch on that very, very briefly. Here's an article. It's from Aardvark Health called Nutritional Psychiatry. From the Journal of Nutritional Psychiatry. It says there's been studies that have compared traditional diets like the Mediterranean and traditional Japanese diets to a typical Western diet and have shown the risk of depression is 25 to 35% lower in those who eat a traditional diet. Scientists account for this difference because these traditional diets tend to be high in vegetables, fruits, unprocessed grains, fish, and contain only modest amounts of meats. They're also void of processed and refined foods and sugars, which are staples of a Western dietary plan. We've heard this before. Exercise. Here's an article I read about, commented on that. And this is about our things that we can do in our life to help our resilience. This article is called The Contribution of Physical Exercise to Brain Resilience. It says exercise is known to induce many positive effects on the brain. And it says, as such, exercise represents an important tool to influence neurodevelopment and shape the adult brain to react to life's challenges. Among many beneficial effects, exercise intervention has been associated with cognitive improvement, so it helps our brain, stress resilience in both human and animal models. And what I'm talking about with these things here is not about reaching a certain body type or look. It's about considering what we're putting into our body and things that we can do to help resilience. And our physical well-being is impacted by these things. So it's very individualized, but we put it off. We put it off. And how that applies to you and your situation is up to you, but something to consider that can help you with resilience. And it can help with physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Those things are all really connected and impact each other. Let's turn over to Ephesians 6. We'll look at some spiritual resilience here. So Ephesians 6:10, this is the armor of God, something that we went over. It's been a few years now, but it's definitely something that we've covered. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong. Right? Be strong. That's what we're talking about, being able to be resilient. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So this is difficult, right? Wrestling. And it's using this language of, you know, building strength. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers and the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Having done all. So we're considering some of those things today. What can we do to build those coping skills. One of the obvious skills that we work on and helps us with our resilience is prayer, our spiritual resilience. And prayer is known to have effects within science as well. I have this article here. It was a study that was done. It says in a series of experiments, which participants, they prayed for a stranger or a person who angered them or a friend in need. It says members of the prayer group were more likely to feel less anger and aggression after a provocation. So the next time this came up, they dealt with it in a better way. And that's resilience. And it's even a scientific article is saying that there was some impact with that. We turn back over to Philippians 4 again. Read a couple more scriptures there about prayer specifically. Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. So it's talking about, again, that's part of this resilience when we're afraid, right? Or we have anxieties. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And then what does it say will happen here? It says, and the peace of God. And that's what we want, right? We want to have that peace when we're dealing with these difficult situations. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So that's something very powerful we can do and work on always. We all have prayer and something that we can do. And we're looking at these coping mechanisms and way to build coping skills in our life and build this resilience. The third point that I have in building resilience is to strengthen connections. Strengthen connections. The support system that we have can play a vital role in resilience in our life. Whatever we can do to bolster or grow our existing social connections, positive social connections, can help our resilience. It's a strong tool. And it's something that we hear. We're here today building that. We're commanded to come together. And we should come together. It's obviously there's reasons not to be together right now with some sickness and all that. But when we can, we should be together. I'll read from an article. This is an article called Social Support and Resilience to Stress. It's from Psychiatry Journal. It says, Social support is exceptionally important for maintaining good physical and mental health. A positive social support system of high quality can enhance resilience to stress, help protect against developing trauma-related psychopathy, so like mental issues related to traumas in our life, decrease the consequences of trauma-induced disorders such as PTSD, and it can also reduce medical morbidity and mortality, which is how a disease or an illness affects us to heal from that. All that can be influenced by our social support and those connections that we have. And our spiritual church family plays a huge part in that for each of us. I'm going to turn over to Ecclesiastes 4. Read another scripture here about building that support. It So Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Again, a scripture that is read often, but it's important, and it says a lot about us and about the support that we have in our life. And we all have different levels of support. We have our family support. We have our friends and people who we support and love. And we all need to know that we have a group here, our church family, that cares about you and does support you. And again, if you're able to be here, it would be great. It would help with that resilience in your life. Read another article here dealing with some of the issues going on in the world right now with COVID. And the article is The Implications of COVID-19 for Mental Health and Substance Abuse. And the article had to do with the isolation that people are feeling. And it's in the news, some of the rates of depression and suicide. Those things are on the increase, and I'm going to just touch on that quickly on this point. Does the COVID-19 pandemic, recession, and then isolation have negatively affected many people's mental health and created new barriers for people already suffering from mental illness and substance abuse disorders? During the pandemic, so that's like this past year, about 4 in 10 adults in the U.S. have reported symptoms of anxiety or depressive disorders. So 4 out of 10 adults. So if we say that we're a slice of the world here, that's a big chunk of the group here right now in the last year. 4 out of 10 adults have reported these symptoms of anxiety or depressive disorders. And that's up from 2019, where it was 1 in 10 adults reporting these symptoms. That's a huge increase in the last year, from 1 in 10 to 4 in 10. There was a KFF health tracking poll, this is from July 2020, that many adults are reporting specific negative impacts on their mental health and well-being, such as difficulty sleeping. 36% reported that. 32% said they had eating issues. 12% said that they have increased the amount of alcohol or substance abuse. And 12% said that their chronic conditions have become worse over the last year due to stress and worry over the coronavirus. And as the pandemic wears on, ongoing and necessarily public health measures may be needed to help people and help them deal with these poor outcomes. So your feelings or my feelings that you may be having are not uncommon. A lot of people are going through this, and the connections we build can help our resilience. The connections that we build right here especially can do that. I'm going to turn over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, speaking about these connections that we have. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Then it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So each other, talking about the congregation. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, exhorting, that's encouraging and helping one another. And it's speaking to this exact issue about resilience and being able to help each other. And it says, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So I'd strongly encourage not neglecting the opportunity to meet and build relationships with your spiritual brothers and sisters. As we mentioned, we're a little light today, and for good reason. There's times not to come into services with sickness and that and those kind of things, but it's important for building resilience. And that's in and out of church. We have ways of meeting up with each other, and I know many of you do, and it's great to hear, and it's so encouraging. I know there's food being delivered. Those are connections. People go out to eat together. There's calls, letters. We have a social event coming up in a couple weeks. Don't leave those things out. They can really help you and build resilience. They're more than just fun. It's helping you in your life and helping others as well. There's hobbies. I know that some of you get together and share with each other. And prayer requests. I see them going out. I know they're on, there's like Snapchat and text groups out there. And those are all connections being built. All connections that help us be more resilient with the issues in life. My last point here is to increase optimism. Increase optimism. From the article that I got some of these points from that I referenced earlier, it says people who are more optimistic tend to feel more in control of their outcomes. To build optimism, it says focus on what you can do when faced with a challenge and identify positive and problem-solving steps that you can take. And I when I read that point, I was like, okay, sure. Just be happy. Is that what this is saying? Right? Be a little more optimistic. We'll look at it here a little bit more. There's more to it than just saying, I'm going to be optimistic or I'm going to be happy. There's reasons that we can be optimistic. And we do have these challenges, and as we mentioned before, we have those spiritual challenges. I'm going to read another story about that and how it impacts our lives, these spiritual challenges, and how we can approach those situations. Let's turn over to Luke 15. Luke 15, verse 11. This is the parable of the prodigal son. And we're talking about optimism and building that, and specifically in this context, spiritual optimism. So Luke 15, verse 11. So then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me of the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions on prodigal living. So he had a wild life. He took what was given to him, what he knew to be right, and threw it away. Did the wrong thing, and his life was a mess because of it. And we'll read that here. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I'm going to, he says, he's going to die. He's going to perish with hunger. So I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran back and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And sometimes we can feel like this spiritually. We can be down, saying, ruined it. It says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals and on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the older son had a different view of this situation. It says, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, what things are meant here? What's going on? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was hungry and he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered his father, said, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. He's never celebrated him. It says, but as soon as this son of yours came and has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And this is what the father said. And this is a parable, right? Talking about how God deals with us. It says, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So sometimes we have consequences, or we go against God and it has consequences. Just like in this parable. There was this son made mistakes, but there's always a way back. And that's part of the optimism that we have, and it builds resilience. There's always a way back. God wants you to succeed, and we can have optimism in that. No matter who we are or what we did, the physical or emotional struggles that you have or that I have, God wants you in his family. God wants you there. I want to turn back to Philippians. Back to Philippians 4. We have this optimism. Because we know that we fall, we fail, we have weaknesses. But God wants us to have success. Turn to Philippians 4, but I'm going to read Philippians 1, verse 6. I read this most of my sermons, actually, because it's very, very encouraging. And it's important to know, in thinking about optimism, that, and this was brought out at the Feast of Tabernacles this year in Panama City Beach, that you are not a mistake. You're not a mistake. It's not a mistake that you're here. It's not a mistake that you have issues. God has a plan for you. You need to remember that. It's in the optimism and hope that can bring is important. I'll read Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's very encouraging. It brings that optimism. And just remembering that scripture can build resilience in our lives. So, going over to Philippians 4 again. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So think about these good things, these optimistic things. And then it says, things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. So things that we learned, things that we learned here about God's plan and God's way of life. It says, these do. And what will happen? It says, and the God of peace will be with you. That should bring optimism to our life. There is good. There is a future. There is a plan for each of you, each of us. And God is in control. It's something we all need to remember. Have optimism in that. It's very encouraging. And it can build strength and resilience in each of us, remembering that. I'm going to turn over to one more scripture. Let's go over to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Just to sum this up here. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we talked about things that can help us today to have strength and resilience and to run that race. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's the most important thing to remember when we're talking about resilience, about hope, and about strength in our life. It's knowing that Jesus Christ is there for us and he went before us. And he has a plan for you and for me. There is stress in this life. There's stress right now. There's all those stresses we talked about. There's difficulties, and some are very severe. We have been knocked down here as a congregation in the last month, but we are a resilient church family. We will bounce back. And there are ways to increase that resilience in our life. So I'd encourage you to practice some of these techniques. Think about it. Research it on your own. When you go here, resilience can impact many areas of your life. But becoming more resilient is a quality that can help all of us. Have a great Sabbath.